Can you speak about your general impressions about a seminar?
So I found the people very interested and motivated, and a very rich experience that, which is very nice, because then it's a mutual learning. It's not teaching, it's more like we learn from each other. I think many practitioners in these types of workshops have extreme amount of experience, and some of the concepts and ideas is more a way of understanding what they're already doing. And in that sense, it's a pleasure to work with people like this who are so active in the field.
What do you think? What are the necessary conditions for the conflicting parties to start negotiation?
So there are different ways of looking at it. One is to say the parties who want to negotiate, they have to have the will to try negotiations. So often they're not sure that it's going to work, but at least the will to try negotiations is one of the minimal conditions. Another one is that they're not satisfied with the situation. If you're totally satisfied with the situation, why would you negotiate? So there has to be some dissatisfaction with the present situation and the hope by trying negotiations that you can get something better. Mm-hmm. The third one, which is important, is that there needs to be a regional and international consensus to let the negotiation process happen. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the regional international actors have to support it actively, but at least they should not block it. Mm-hmm. So there needs this minimal consensus. And in the case of the Sudan North South process that led up to the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, there was this minimal consensus to let the process happen. And I think this is one of the conditions for successful negotiations between the parties.
Mm-hmm. What are the necessary principles and approaches for constructive negotiations that the conflicting parties should follow?
One of the key questions is, do the parties in the negotiation process have a common goal? So party A has a goal, party B has a goal, and if there's a third party mediator, they may also have a goal. Mm-hmm. And the question is there a minimal common goal? Because if you do not have a common goal, it's extremely hard to find orientation for your negotiation process. If you do have a common goal, and it can be fuzzy, peaceful coexistence, something like this, the question is then, what are the issues you have to address and negotiate in order to reach your common goal? Mm-hmm. So that's one point. The second point is to always think in a negotiation of process and content. And process is very important, content is very important, and they're linked, but you can also look at them separately. And the key point is that if you want to reach an agreement, you have to have a certain structure and system of a process in order to get and deal with your content. Mm-hmm. You can't jump into negotiation and deal with all the content in one go. You have to look at the various issues, the agenda, the venue, the sequencing. All of these questions are process questions that are very important and fundamental if you want to reach a goal. Mm-hmm. There's then also one specific idea in negotiation, which comes from this book, Getting to Yes, the Harvard Approach, that says there's a difference between positions, what the parties want, what they state they want, and the interests, which are the motives, the concerns, the goals below the position. And the thinking is, if you stick to positions, you get blocked. So you have to first go below the positions and look at the interests, the concerns of the parties. Mm-hmm. And if you identify that, you can find the what we call the zone of possible agreement, mm-hmm. which is sort of the place where there are interests both sides can work on. And this is the first step before then looking at options and finding an agreement or a solution.
Mm-hmm. And if we turn to the role of the civil society in negotiations, what work should be done with civil societies of the conflicting parties to have them their contribution in the negotiation process or in the resolution of the conflict in general?
So, of course, it depends very much which conflict, which case you're looking at. Mm-hmm. But the idea is the people who are affected by the conflict and who are driving the conflict should somehow also be involved in ending the conflict. Mm-hmm. Now, if we take the case of the Kenya 2007-2008 election crisis, it was very important to have the elite, the track one political level, in a process mediated by Kofi Annan. But the conflict was shaping the whole of society. So it was also very important to have civil society involved, even if the civil society was also polarized and split by the conflict. And it was important because the analysis is different by civil society than by the political elite. They also have ideas that the political elite may not have. And finally, if you strike a deal at the track one level without any involvement, consultation, exchange with civil society, you may reach an agreement, but that is not seen as legitimate and therefore may not be sustainable in the eyes of civil society. So what they did in the Kenya case was you had the track one process, but at the same time you had a multi-track process, and the mediator Kofi Annan consulted and talked to civil society actors to see their analysis, their ideas, and to also gain the support so that when an agreement was signed at the track one level, civil society would agree and carry it too.
Thank you very much for an interesting interview.
Welcome.